Well, let's open in prayer. Father, we do thank you for that privilege that we have. Our salvation is in Christ alone, and not of our own works and not of what the church says, but Father, what your word has told us. And as we've come, we've sought repentance and sought forgiveness, and we've bowed and humbled ourselves at the foot of the cross, have that burden rolled away. Father, we just thank you for that precious promise. And Lord, as you gave your life there on the cross and shed your blood, that we may have our sins atoned. Lord, we pray you just bless in the services this morning and the Sunday school hour and also in the other acts of to follow. Father, if there's one here amongst us that has never come to that point in their life where they can say they know that they've been born again, we pray that today would be that day of salvation for them. May a new name written down in glory. And even the angels rejoice in heaven with that. We thank you and praise you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Don't you know?
Heaven with us, S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. My heart was full of sin until the Savior came. My heart was full of sin until my Savior came in. His precious blood I know has washed in white and snow. And in God's word I'm told, I'll walk the streets of gold. Oh, wonderful, wonderful day, He washed my sin.
Working faster than my arm, and okay, we got it. I had myself.
What a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing to be saved from sin and have peace within, to be made a joint heir with Jesus, my King. What a
thank you for your singing, and we'll dismiss for our Sunday school classes.
Well, good morning, everyone. Well, our family had a little mini vacation out at Barkerville this last week, and it was a great time. We had a little bit of rain, a little bit of cold weather, but we had a really good time with the family and visited with the Davis family. While we were out there, I mentioned to a few that we had some good opportunities to witness. While we were there, we took in the sights. And they, if you've been there before, they've got, you know, like interpretive guides that dress in the period and try to talk in the period. And it's hard to get them to actually come out of their time zone, so to speak. And there's this one young fellow, he was taking the part of a judge from the late 1800s. And he was very passionate about it and did a really good job speaking about the times and what that they had to go through and walking and, you know, the trails they had to go up and this and that. And then he said, but, you know, as I've been getting older, I've been thinking about the judge of all the earth that I'm going to be judged by, the judge of all judges. And so Emily and I went and talked to him afterwards, and turns out he's from Sherwood Park. Don't know where he got his English accent from, but he was born and raised in Sherwood Park. And anyway, we got chatting with him, and we gave him a tract. And Emily said, you know, you mentioned, and she says, I know you were in character, but she says, you mentioned being judged by the judge of all judges, and we will. The Bible says one day it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And so it was really good tie-in. It was the Lord just opened that door. And, you know, as we're witnessing to people, you'll see, if we're soul conscious, we'll see opportunity. And, you know, I didn't see that one. Emily saw that. It was great. But as we become more and more soul conscious, the Lord will just open up a door for us to say, hey, here's the answer. Or let me tell you about what the Bible says about this. You know, I was talking to a fellow that was a printer. And I was looking as he was using one of the old printing presses. And, you know, you could buy stuff, you know, wanted posters and things like that there. And he's having some issues with it. He was trying to fix it and working on the typesetting. And he had a typesetting plate. And I said, you know, there's a really interesting story about William Tyndale, who translated the English Bible. So the Catholic Church did not want it published in English. So they had their spies and their guards, their people, running around chasing him throughout Europe, not just England, but into Europe, the mainland. And how he, at one point, he was running around with these plates, kind of like what you have there, running around with these plates. And in one place, he had to actually abandon some of his plates in order to save his life. But he did eventually get caught and was martyred. And he's like, whoa, running around with all these plates, and he said, feel this, feel how heavy this is. And so it was a really good tie-in, and then more people came in. I was like, why am I out of tracks? Because I had given a number of tracks away, and so I was like, no tracks. So I'm like, I gotta go find one. And as I'm leaving, he calls out, goes, hey, what was the name of that guy again that you told me about? And I told him the name again, and then I left and went back to our stroller, got some more tracks, and got a pen and wrote down William Tyndale on the back, came back and said, hey, here's the name of the fellow. So, you know, the Lord just opened up opportunities. And of course, he does that in your life and my life. And the idea is that we be ready to walk through those doors and take the opportunity to witness. Well, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Just a reminder that we have some missionary letters at the back to sign. I got a number of them for anniversaries and birthdays, so if you could take a moment to look over those and sign them and maybe put down a special verse It might be an encouragement to our missionaries. So Proverbs chapter 20, and we're going to pick up today in verse 12, and we'll read verses 12 through 15. If you're physically able to, I ask that you'd stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. It's Proverbs chapter 12, verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you, and Lord, just thinking of that last verse there about the gold, the multitude of rubies. And Lord, yes, we live on an earth where there are hid treasures everywhere, whether it be rubies, whether it be gold. And yet, Lord, much more important than those earthly things are the lips of knowledge. They are a precious jewel. We pray that you would help us to focus on what is really truly important. Lord, be with us as we dig into your word today, that you would speak to our hearts, meet needs we have. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today we're picking up at verse 12. We kind of touched on it a little bit last week. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. And I think we can look at this from two perspectives. We can look at this from the physical perspective, but also from the spiritual perspective, right? The physical perspective, we recognize that God gives us our sight. He gives us the supernatural ability to see and to hear. I say supernatural because obviously it came from God. It's not something we've engineered. Even though, you know, mankind is constantly engineering things. But so often, what man engineers is a copy or a replica of something in this world. Some physical thing that God has made. You know, they're constantly examining different creatures, whether it be a bug, or whether it be an insect, or a mammal, or a human. And they're examining these things, and they're learning how they work. And then they're applying them to science. Well, that's just copying. What would we call that? We call that plagiarism. Counterfeiting, right? That's not the real deal. They're just copying the creator. I mean, you think about Pharaoh's, his worldly wise men that he had. And he got them to replicate Aaron's rod turning into a snake. But, of course, we know the rest of the story. Aaron's rod ate their snakes. It only goes so far. And you think about Moses, when Moses is told by the Lord, I have a duty, I have a call for you, I'm sending you to your people. You are going to go and you're going to meet with Pharaoh. You're going to tell him that he is to let my people go. And you need to talk to the elders and tell them that I am visiting them. I am coming to take them out of their land. I've heard their cries. And I'm coming to take them out of Egypt. And what does Moses say? He says, I'm a man of a slow tongue. He says, I can't do this. And the Lord reprimands him and said, am I not the one who made your tongue? Don't I make the deaf and the dumb? And so, you know, even when the Lord, he makes everyone. He gives us sight, or he denies us sight. He gives us hearing ears, or he denies us hearing ears. Whatever the case, it's from the Lord, and we've got to accept it, and we've got to work within those parameters. We have Sister Joanne here with us, and she's from, you know, a hard of hearing, and before she had the hearing aids, she would be declared legally deaf, if I understand right. And you know something about the deaf community that you need to be aware of, and I think it would be probably the same in other communities, is that they don't view it as a handicap. It's a totally different world, and they enjoy how they communicate. And so when we think about the hearing ear, the seeing eye, if God gives us those things, we need to be thankful for them. if God removes those things from us, we need to be just as thankful and be thankful for what things he has given us. So as we look at this verse here, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Well, it tells us, reminds us that we need to be thankful for what we have, and we need to be thankful even when we feel like we've not been given the same amount as somebody else. If we look at someone else and say, and we can even go broader than that, and we can say, well, you know, my voice is scratchy, and I can't hear, I can't sing, and I'm off key, and why did God make me this way? No, God made you that way. Deal with it. You know, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? Doesn't matter. Be thankful for what God has given us, and for those things that he's even removed from us. Then we even draw an application to the spiritual aspect of it, the spiritual ears, the seeing ear or the seeing eyes. You remember the Bible says that Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." He that hath an ear. Seems like an odd statement to say, doesn't it? He that hath an ear, let him hear. The idea is those that would hear, those that would actually listen, those that would say, what is he saying? I need to know more about this. The people like Nicodemus that say, tell me more. The people like the centurion that comes and asks him to heal his servant. And, you know, the Lord says, I have not seen such faith in Israel among the Jews. Here's a Gentile. That was a seeing eye and a hearing ear. Somebody who was prepared to listen. And this man said, you don't even need to come into my house. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. But there are people that have physical ears, but you can't tell them anything. You know, I was talking with Pastor St. Javis, and we were just talking about going out in visitation and asking him, well, what's it like in Hinton? When you go on visitation, what are some of the, you know, what's the attitude like towards the gospel? And what approach do you take? What questions do you ask? How do you introduce yourself? How do you introduce your church? And he was telling me that the way he engages with people, the way he finds that he's able to actually get into a conversation with them is, do you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ? And I said, well, you know, what would happen if you were to say to a person, if you were to die today, where would you go? Or something along those lines. He said, they would just simply say, I'm good. I don't need to. That's a personal question. You know? And so, you know, he was describing it would be an instant shutdown to receive a question like that. Instantly shut down. And so different areas, different communities, different peoples, they respond to different questions in different way. So here you've got some people out there, many people out there, that have ears to hear, but they don't want to hear. You know, we were on visitation yesterday, and so many people did not want to hear the gospel. I don't think we actually had any really, really rude people. I mean, some just said, nope, not interested, that kind of thing. Well, fine. But they didn't have ears to hear. They weren't interested. You know, they were more interested in, oh, well, you know, one gentleman said, I've got breakfast going right now. I can understand, you know, as far as you don't want to set the house on fire. We could smell some really good food cooking. We could smell it before we got to his house and after we got to his house. So we knew he was telling the truth. We would have happily stayed for breakfast. But at the same time, if you had ears to hear and your heart was being pricked about the gospel, like you see in some of the people that we read about in Scripture, and even people in our generation. It would have been more like, hang on a second, I got to go turn that off, got to take it off the element before it burns, I'll be right back, right? Instead of, I got better things to do. You know, Brother Jeremy telling me about earlier in the week, he was out on visitation, and, you know, somebody told him, oh, you know, I'm kind of busy right now. And he knew that the person was watching TV. Yeah, that's more important than where your soul is going to go when you die. Really? Right? He didn't have ears to hear. Not interested. Couldn't be bothered. People are intentionally blinded to the truth. You think of the scripture in Isaiah where the Lord says, my people die for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. They have rejected knowledge, so they are without knowledge. That's unfortunate. That is, they have rejected. They do not want to hear it. They're intentionally blinded to the truth. Let's take a look in Luke chapter 8. And, you know, sometimes you might look at Christ and his parables, and you might say, well, why was he... speaking in parables? Why was he hiding the truth? Why wouldn't he just blaze it about? Why wouldn't he uncover it for everyone? And we know the reason is because, as he said, you don't cast your pearls before the swine because they will trample them. And, you know, the scripture also speaks, and sometimes I wish, you know, I thought of these verses earlier, but, you know, I'm just trying to think of the one scripture that speaks of, to the wicked, everything is sinful. So, you know, you'll give a great gospel truth, and you'll say, isn't this great? And they will come at it from the exact opposite position, and they'll make that truth look like it's ungodly. They'll try to make God look like he is not holy, that he's not just. And they have an excuse for everything. They come at it from the exact opposite. You know, Satan works. He likes to operate with mirror images. You think of chemicals and compounds and how they have their mirror image. There's this image here, and then the mirror image is the exact opposite. Isomers and stereoisomers. And so it's just like looking in a mirror, you know. And in reality, you're saying to yourself, okay, my hair's parted on this side. And you look in the mirror, and now it's parted on that side. But you know which side it's parted on, even though the mirror is telling you something different. Well, Satan works in mirror images. You give the gospel this truth, and he's got the alternate. And it's a lie. It's not the truth. So in Luke chapter 8, in verse 9, after he's given the parable of the sower, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they might not understand. And you might say, well, how fair is that? And because it almost seems like God is just arbitrarily picking certain people that he's going to benefit with the gospel. But it's not that. The matter is that these are people that did not want to see. And so he intentionally said, okay, fine. If your heart is closed to the gospel, then fine. And you see his disciples coming to him. Think of Matthew 13. That's full of the kingdom parables. And you see his disciples coming unto us and explain unto us this parable. You know, they didn't have the spiritual discernment to put the pieces together. Understandable. But you do notice they wanted to know. They said, explain this to us. Whereas you don't see Pharisees coming to Jesus and saying, "Oh, you know, something's deep here. Please, would you explain what you've said?" Instead, you actually see them sometimes realizing who he's talking about, and that you see them getting angry because they see that he's talking about them and their hypocrisy. So, because their eyes, their spiritual eyes, were not willing to see the truth, because they were not willing to hear the truth, the Lord said, "I'm going to intentionally blind your eyes so that you can't see it." Take a look at Acts chapter 28, please. Acts chapter 28. And this intentional blindness can even happen to a believer. You know, we've got to be careful that we don't become hard-hearted towards the Lord and his word, and that we don't choose to, you know, kind of have our eyes glazed over. You know what that look is, right? When you see someone and you're talking to them and their eyes glaze over and you're like, "Oh, I've lost them. Why even continue? I've lost them." And that can happen to a Christian, where a Christian maybe gets complacent for some reason they've wandered away from the Lord and they're not in fellowship with the Lord, and they no longer have ears to hear. They have a big wax buildup. Sometimes when we have some of our children have issues with wax and they're off running and you're calling them back and they can't hear you, and sometimes you're going, "Do they want to hear?" Or is that a physical problem? Acts chapter 28, verse 25. "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word." Now, just pause there for a second. Context here. Paul has now come to Rome. And he's called for a meeting with the Jews. He's in Rome as a prisoner. He's made that perilous journey, had the shipwreck and everything. He's now in Rome. He's called for the Jews. They, unsurprisingly, have not heard a great deal about him. They've had no letters come from Judea. So they're actually interested to find out, "Well, what is this that, we've heard a little bit about your sect?" And in verse 22, we know that it's spoken of against, but they want to know about it. And so he starts to testify about the kingdom of God, as we read in verse 23, "persuading them concerning Jesus, both of the law of Moses and of the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not amongst themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, 'Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto the Father, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." And you've got to know that hearing that must have infuriated the Jews, considering that the Gentiles were, in their estimation, dogs. To hear this man say that God was bringing salvation to their God, the God of their fathers, was bringing salvation to the Gentiles, must have infuriated those who did not believe. We do see that some did believe, but others did not. So they were intentionally blinded to the truth. Their heart was waxed gross. The glazed over aspect. Now, you think of those that have intentionally opened their eyes to the truth. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And what I see in Scripture is that The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Furthermore, the Lord said, "If I be lifted up, I will raise. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And so, I believe that God is spreading the light of the gospel throughout the world, and that if a person genuinely wants to hear the truth of the gospel, God will meet them. Just like he did with Cornelius, whose prayers and alms went up for a memorial before God. Didn't get him saved, but it's certain his prayers and memorial, his alms did not give him salvation. But God listened and said, "You know what? I got to meet with Cornelius. He wants to know the truth." So he sent Peter from Joppa to go witness to him. And then he trusted Christ as his Savior. So you look at Peter here in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. "For at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Sorry, I'm getting mixed up with the next reference we're going to go to. But you notice here that God had hid certain things from the quote-unquote wise and prudent, the worldly wise, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who had their own, they were making their own righteousness, as the Apostle Paul later says in the book of Romans. But he opened it up to babes, people who were uneducated, fishermen, tax collectors. Look at Romans or Matthew chapter 16, the reference that speaks about Simon Peter. Matthew 16, verses 15 through 17. Well, backing up to verse 13. "When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." See, Peter already, we're not talking about someone who had a hard heart and God just pounded it into him and revealed it to him. And Peter said, "Oh, wow, okay, I believe." This was a matter of someone who, and we see repeatedly, he was eager. He was an eager follower of the Lord. And so the Lord responded, the Father responded by saying, "Okay, Peter, you want to know? Here, I'm going to tell you who this is. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. A person might say, "Well, how do we know whose eyes are opened, whose eyes are willing to accept the truth?" Doesn't matter. Our job is just to get the truth out, isn't it? You know, when we go door knocking, or you pass a tract out at the grocery store, however we give the word out, you don't know how it's going to be received. And you also don't know when it's going to be received. I was just telling Brother Jeremy a story yesterday. Someone here in town who's now a Christian leader, and he was at a grocery store, and his life was starting to go down, and he was starting to dabble with drugs and alcohol, and Pastor Horton gave him a tract, and he took the tract and he put it away and. I didn't think much of it at the time. Then he went down completely into drugs and alcohol, was homeless, living on the streets, living off of fruit from people's fruit trees. Eventually, he looked over that tract again, and combined with some other Christians that were witnessing to him, he ended up trusting Christ as a Savior, and his life turned around, and he eventually got involved in ministry. I told that to Pastor Horton and some time ago when I heard this story, and he says, it's the first time I've actually heard a fruit from Pass Not Attract. But sometimes that person who's hard-hearted today is going to have something happen in their life tomorrow that is going to rattle them, that's going to shake them to the very core, and they're going to go, oh, that's right, that guy, that weirdo, gave me that tract. I'm going to just want to take a look at it. I want to read that, and that might speak to them. So we're not to go and say, okay, be selective and say, well, are their eyes open? You know what? Just get the word out, right? We've given John and Romans out before, and it's not actually been the person that lived in the house. I remember one time, it wasn't through our efforts, but it was a different church. It was Emmanuel Baptist in Fort McMurray. They were giving out John and Romans, and the people who owned the house, they just put it on a coffee table or something like that. The lady's brother, who was kind of couch surfing at the time, he picked it up. He got saved and started attending that church there in Fort McMurray. So you don't know what God's word is going to do. We don't have to worry about whether their eyes are open. We just give it out, speak it, whatever method the Lord opens the door for us to do, right? So Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 21. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you all in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So before a person comes to Christ, their eyes need to have a degree of enlightenment. They have to have an actual willingness and interest to hear the gospel. It all starts in the heart. And then even as a believer, we want to have our eyes opened more and more. You think about Elisha. And the army of, Ben-Hadad, comes up against, because this king is saying, who is telling the king of Israel my plans to come and raid him? And he thinks it's one of his own people. And then someone says, no, it's the prophet Elisha. He can hear what you see in your bedchamber. You know? And so then he goes, we got to get rid of this guy. And so he goes to the city where he's at and surrounds it. And then Elisha's servant says, well, my Lord, what are we going to do? And what does Elisha say? He says to the Lord, please open my servant's eyes. And then he sees the host that God had surrounding that enemy. And then he saw that there was way more with the Lord than there were with this mortal army. And he says to God, open up his eyes so he can see. Well, believers need to have our eyes opened daily, don't we? We don't want to get our hearts glazed over. You know, when you have an engine running, those pistons are going up and down in the cylinder walls, right? And the gasoline or diesel or propane comes in through the different injectors, and there's a spark for the gasoline and propane engines, or there's a heater or glow plugs for the diesel, and it creates an explosion. Those pistons go up and down in the cylinders, which turn your crankshaft and your transmission, your wheels, right? Well, the cylinder walls can get a glaze on them. And then it can impact your compression. And so sometimes when you rebuild an engine, sometimes your cylinder walls are still within their tolerance. They haven't actually worn away. And you've got to get the glaze off of them. We've done that before. My dad and I years ago did that on a vehicle, and you just simply hone out the cylinder walls. You take the glaze off with stones, with a special stone that goes down there, and you take that off. So there's a nice clean surface again. And sometimes our heart can get that glaze on it, and we're no longer that concerned about things and about this life. Our spiritual eyes are not enlightened. And we have to take out and hone out the cylinder walls so that we can see, we can hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. One last verse, 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. He hath given us an understanding. So every believer recognizes that the Holy Spirit brings the message of Jesus Christ, the Son of God there. He brings the message of Jesus Christ and gives us an understanding. He enlightens our eyes. Our job is to be listening, is to be looking, is not to put the blinders on. You think of horses when they have the blinders on the side so they can't see what's going on around them. And we need to put blinders on to certain things. We need to put the blinders on regarding this world. You know, we need to go just from A to B and not look, whoa, what's going on there? Oh, you know, but just have the blinders on that way. But when it comes to spiritual things, no blinders. Eyes wide open, a heart ready to receive what the Lord has to give us. So as we think in closing of that verse there, Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Again, the physical aspect, be happy with what the Lord has given us. Even if we're blind, even if we're deaf, even if we have what some would consider handicaps, let's not view them as handicaps, let's view them as a gift. I mean, you think of Fanny Crosby, who was blind, and yet she wrote. I mean, you look at our hymn book. You look at all the hymns that she contributed to us. And I think there's people that asked her, you know, about how she feels about being blind, and her response was, when she gets to heaven, how glorious that is going to be. So think about those things that some might consider as handicaps, which really are not. Because we'll really appreciate what we get in our glorified bodies. And then also think about the spiritual aspect. Reaching those who are spiritually blind and trying to give the gospel to penetrate even the hard hearts. And that we ourselves would not be hard-hearted. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we pray that you'd help each one of us to be thankful for what you've given us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to have seeing eyes, eyes that are willing to see, ears that are willing to hear. We pray that we would not let our hearts be hardened to the truth, that we would not become lazy, that we would not become contented with this world. But Lord, that we would keep an open ear, open eyes for what you would have us to learn. We ask that you would meet our needs today. Be with any that are still traveling, that you give them safety on the roads. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.